I'm glad to participate in this workshop on wind and water erosion, various technologies, and I thank those who invited me to participate. I wasn't sure why the suggested title was plural for wind erosion prediction technologies, but I think as we move along, I preferred the technologies because there are so many technologies involved in wind erosion prediction. So it's not just one, and this is a brief outline of what I intend to cover. I'm going to show a few slides visualizing the wind erosion problem and comment on the initiation of wind erosion research. Since this is a history topic, I'll do that. And I always scold people who write in acronyms without writing the words out the first time. But WEQ stands for the wind erosion equation, and WEPS for the wind erosion prediction system. And then I'll make some comments at the end. Well, wind erosion is a serious problem throughout the world. And as you know, it's worse in arid and semi-arid regions, and it affects many things, including landscapes, visibility, plants, soil, and water and air quality. And I gave a presentation at an international meeting one time on soil and air. Soil, water, and air quality is influenced by wind erosion. It affects those very much. And then it affects human and animal health, buries fences, blows fences out, and the most important thing is probably the sense of well-being, or the lack of well-being as a result of wind erosion events. So let's quickly go through a few slides here showing some of the problems with wind erosion. Usually when we attack a problem, we try to understand it a little bit. And so what was referred to as the Dirty 30s, a few images here. As you can note the stress on this person's expression on her face. And the Black Sunday, 14 April 1935, is a memorable event. And sometimes the state newspapers will call you up at an anniversary of so many years and ask you to make a comment on Black Sunday and so forth. A public television program produced in the last year or so stories from the Dust Bowl, and they visited us, interviewed a couple of us, and took some of our pictures off our website. And now if you watch public television, and you may have seen that viewed. I've had several people comment to me, "I saw you on television," or something like that. But I'm going to show you a few scenes of wind erosion. This was one I took just a couple of years ago in western China, illustrating the problem that's occurring there as this dune moves in. And then last year at this time is when I took this picture in Inner Mongolia. This is work with the left hand. Maybe. This is wind erosion. It's not caused by water erosion, but that's wind erosion. What they would do is across this grassland, which is unpaved roads, they would have a traffic lane there, and it would disturb the soil such that it became vulnerable to wind erosion. And you can see the result. I suggested that they do some cross sections there and analyze the soil and try to find out some properties of the soil. This is a picture I took several years ago in Africa. This is a village, self-sustaining village. They have groundwater, very little precipitation, but you can see the threat wind erosion would be. Last year at the ISCO meetings in Morocco was to participate in a post-conference tour, and this is where we stopped for lunch. And the wind came up, there are buildings right across here. We were on a patio here to eat lunch on the outside, and we moved inside. And then after camel ride, this is where I spent the night in this activity. And we got up to watch the sun come up on the sand dunes the next morning. Back to the United States, I camped a time or two at the base of those sand dunes on the way to climb the mountains. This is farmland, almost 2 meters above the land surface, that picture was taken by a colleague from the BLM who furnished that to me. Western Kansas, a couple of years ago, a couple of scenes from there. I was at this site. There was a fatality there just a couple of days before I was traveling through, so I stopped and wanted to see the surface conditions. And the wind was blowing the day I was there and took that picture. See farmland damage, irrigation canals are filled. This is a Hornado experimental range site where desert pavement has developed as a result of the soil being eroded off, pebbles emerge and form a surface. I was in a meeting one time and a farmer came up to me and said, "Yeah, see what's happened on my field." He lived in Kansas, and when I got home, I went out and visited him. He took me to his field. This wind erosion that occurred on the 28th of January. First, the wind came up and blew the snow off the neighbor's field and blew the soil off. And right here, you probably can't see it, but there's wheat there. And this farmer said to me, he says, "I got my neighbor's best land. I think I'll plant garden on this site." This what you can see the part of the wheat field. What happened to the as the wind came up? He had baled his straw and hauled it off and piled it at the end of the field, and the soil from the wheat field followed. I got a phone call one day and said, "We've got serious wind erosion south central Kansas. You ought to come see what's going on." What happened? There was a wildfire, burned off CRP land. The tops of this are blackened from the burn. And the same wind that fueled, supported the fire also caused several centimeters of soil to be blown away. I took this is on my return trip 2 weeks after the initial trip. You see some of the grasses are starting to survive. We were doing a windbreak study at this site and where this wheat field is, and I could see wind erosion occurring on the neighboring field. We walked over there, and this is what it looked like through the lens of my camera on when it was occurring. 2 weeks later, that's what the plants looked like. This is a typical scene at the Garden City Experiment Station in the summer. One day in the spring, the newspaper reported zero visibility because of blowing dust. The following day, it also reported zero visibility, but it was because of blowing snow. I was traveling western Kansas one day, and I could see something going on here in front of this front coming through, and so I drove down a little closer to get a better view. This is my final exposure. Well, it was a disastrous dust bowl in the Great Plains that prompted the initiation of wind erosion research. And so following the Dirty 30s, the Department of Agriculture did start an intensive program on wind erosion in cooperation with Kansas State University. This is a Research and Marketing Act of 1946. And then the lab started in 1947. And Our strategies have been to have some, identify the problem. Well, you've seen what the problem is. You can visualize it from those previous slides. And then develop an understanding of the processes involved. And then from that understanding, develop prediction technology. And then from that prediction technology, develop viable control practices. And after you do that, then provide customer satisfaction by technology transfer. And that's been the strategies that we have used. And so in the early efforts in the 40s and 50s, research determined various relationships among the various variables affecting wind erosion. The early work was done by Chaplin and Woodruff and Sitaway. And in 1965 was published the Wind Erosion Equation. Shortly thereafter, the Natural Resources Conservation Service implemented it in the field office. I'm in the process of reviewing a paper on wind erosion in Iraq, and they talk about using WEQ in their a new technology, they called it. Well, here's the functional relationships of various variables. I is the erosion expressed as a mass per per area per year, an erodibility index, ridge roughness factor, climatic factor, distance across the field and unsheltered distance, and equivalent vegetative cover. So the output was annual soil loss in mass per area per year. And the development of that involved quite a lot of, I think it was 69 field sites where wind erosion was measured over a three-year period in the vicinity of Garden City, Kansas. And so they used the climatic data of Garden City, Kansas, and called that 100 for relative values for the climatic factor. And then over the years, most modeling is evolutionary. You find things, ways of improving it, especially when people use it, they'll identify things that need to be changed. And here's an example of some of the changes that were implemented into the equation, assessing wind erosion forces. And that's been more than a couple of decades. Got involved with that, and then I visited with Bill Teppel, and the wind erosion equation was not computerized, it was a graphical solution, and I had a conversation with Bill Teppel, and I said, why don't you develop a computer model for it? He said, oh, that's too complicated. But I knew somebody who was bright, Paul Fisher, and he was later became head of the computer science department, and I asked him about if we could do it, and he said, yeah, we can do that. And so we had some bright graduate students and assistants, and we worked together and developed a computer solution. I thought that's what people would want to use, though it was quite a while ago, but NRCS didn't, I thought that's what they'd want to use, but computers were not very prevalent in their field offices. And so they used the computer to develop tables. And they had a stack of tables about all the combinations for the various variables, so you can thumb through and look up what the predicted value of wind erosion was based on that. And then range grasses were evaluated for their predicted value for wind erosion. And the wind energy distributions. So several things, and then a regional agronomist was in my office one day and said, what we need is a wind erosion calculator, a slide rule, like they have done for, I think USLE had one. And so I worked on that, and I developed, I knew how to run a slide rule, I started college long enough ago that that's how you solve problems, through the slide rule. So I knew and developed one, and I and this NRCS regional agronomist and a person from Graphic Calculator Company met together one day and made some plans and developed a wind erosion calculator. That's what it says, wind erosion calculator, SCS. And NRCS or SCS then implemented it for a while and didn't like it, so they gave it up. And then there was some problems with how the climate factor. It had actually been formulated incorrectly by physics of the process. So we did some work on wind erosion climatic erosivity and some more work on wind erosion direction factors. And if you work with wind erosion, you've probably heard the term preponderance of wind erosion forces in the prevailing wind erosion direction. And that's a term we coined for that. And then it was also added to EPIC, and then the small grain equivalent of mixed vegetation. Well, there were several things we did, but in spite of that, this is a summary of a letter written from a chief scientist in NRCS to ARS saying we need some improvements. Here are some problems. Unrealistically high the climatic factor is in arid climates. It's too low in humid climates. Does not account for irrigation. Soil erodibility index does not account for temporal variation of aggregate status as influenced by management, weather, etc. It should have erosion by periods. It doesn't account for temporal variation. And the other factors, like the climate roughness, growing crop residue, small grain equivalents, difficult to communicate to the person in the field, random roughness not recognized. We had roughness by furrows, but not by randomness. It's spatial variability is not recognized. And so what we did, we developed a project. Organizational meeting was held in 1988 to develop a process-based wind erosion prediction system. And during the planning meeting, several charges were given to us. Our national program leader says we need a physically based model, and the chief scientist with NRCS put some good science into it. Our area director says, let's put some good science into the. While this was going on, there were still some other wind erosion modeling efforts in progress. We published an article in WEP and WEAM, Wind Erosion Assessment Model, RWEQ, a revised wind erosion equation, which took care of a few of the problems intended to be an interval, make some improvements while there, because we were delayed in getting WEPs out. And then there was a Texas erosion assessment methodology. WEPs team leaders over the year are George Cole, Larry Hagan, who is here, and Larry Wagner is in charge. Formed multidisciplinary submodel teams. I'm not listed all of them here, but Bill Fryer was in charge of measurements in the fields. And so we had field sites around the country. The county which there was the most severe wind erosion as reported during the dust bowls was not in those field sites. And I suggested that we include that, and so I made arrangements to set up a testing site in Morton County, Kansas. And probably close to 100 papers have been written, published in referee journals as we've gone through this. I would like to talk about each of these submodels and a little bit of the history of the development, but I don't have time to spend very much time on this. But I will quickly go through and show various submodels, and you can glance and see what items are included. We simulate weather, what direction the wind blows from that day, and the wind speed throughout the day, hour of maximum wind speed, and how that wind speed is distributed between the max and min during that 24-hour period. And also simulates hydrology, the wetness of the soil surface, at the soil atmosphere interface, as well as in the profile for supporting crop growth, and soil status on the surface, and how it changes daily, agri status, crop growth, biomass, leaf area index, stem area index, how it's distributed vertically, and decomposition of residue as a result of moisture and temperature and the decaying process, as well as it's changed by tillage, and how management, tillage and so forth affects it. And this is the biggie, the erosion submodel. We predict saltation plus creep suspension, PM10, long-term soil estimate loss, and then we published a user manual. It's about 300 pages, and the technology information. The output is shown here. This is the direction that saltation and creep leaves the field. And the amount, this is rotation year one, rotation year two, for saltation and creep and suspension. And we also have PM10, which is particulate matter, 10 microns and less. That's the part that public health people are interested in, Environmental Protection Agency and so forth. Rotation year one, rotation year two, average. And we have had some of our colleagues, in addition to the measurements we did in the field, Roger Funk from Germany had a field site where he measured with two different measurement techniques and then predicted the wind erosion from that site. And here you see the agreement among that. And a couple of years ago, we passed off wind erosion prediction system to NRCS for beta testing. So the last couple of years they've been doing that, giving us a lot of feedback, and we've been making lots of changes as a result of that. So many of the persistent problems in WEQ have been overcome by the wind erosion prediction system. And this is just reiteration. And here are countries representative of those who have expressed interest. Canada's used it to evaluate the wind erosion potential. The last experiment I mentioned was from Iran. A paper sent to us comparing wind erosion and using WEPs in Iran, Turkey. A scientist from Jakarta visited us, one from Syria. We've got collaborative work going with Mexico. We've done workshops in Netherlands, Belgium, China. I got a request from Colombia. And this is a slide that John DeTarco uses for at a present workshop he does at the International Erosion Control Association, where he talks about mainly SWEEP, Single Event Wind Erosion Evaluation Program, which takes just the erosion submodel, evaluates it for special situations. We did a workshop in China not long ago. That the user manual has been translated to Chinese, and there are several universities in China are requesting more information, collaboration. I visited four universities last year at this time, interacted with the people in China. And so, and early in China, I gave a presentation at the International Conference on Dryland Development on programs, research and programs that lessen the likelihood of reoccurrence of the Dust Bowl. I'm now proposing that trends that argue the need for future applications of erosion prediction technology, further development and application. I'm thinking of writing a paper on the trends and conditions that increase the likelihood for a return of a Dust Bowl. And seems that these are some of the things that will be considered in such an evaluation.